Welcome Policy Fellow at the South African Institute of Race Relations, Sarah Gon.
Sorry, it's hard to believe it's Thursday again, but good afternoon to you.
Already?
Exactly, already. That's exactly how I'm feeling. Yeah, and before we know it, it's Pesach, and there we go. You are asking the, no, you know, you're making the statement, higher education can be free, or
yeah,
you're asking a question.
Probably a little overstated, but we've felt for a long time that higher education is affordable. It's basically about government stop wasting money on a whole lot of other nonsense, which I probably don't have to repeat. We know what sort of nonsense they spend money on. Because it should be an investment for the country. It should be a priority for the country. But it, obviously there will be certain rules that would have to go with it. And that is that what one of the things we suggest is if you use taxpayers' money, excuse me, to get a degree and you complete a degree, then either you pay off the amount immediately, say, or you will pay a certain extra, small extra amount on your tax every year for the education that you receive. Now, obviously, for some people you would have paid money for, you'll never get back. They don't complete university and they don't, you can't push them on those sorts of issues. But it's clear that a tertiary education, it makes a huge difference to employability. But of course, what this would mean is that a whole lot of rules would have to be in place, and that is things like that you will be funding will be made available to people who study anything that is really needed by the society. The private sector may get involved and say, look, it's a lot of do bursaries, but do it on a much wider scale. They'll get involved. They'll train somebody, but then the government must reward the private sector with real and meaningful tax breaks and such like. So I haven't got all the answers, but it is definitely, we think it's something that could be done. You would also have to put in a stipulation that they may fail 1 year at most. You can't have, as we suspect many of the so-called student leaders running around in the last couple of weeks are just repeats year in and year out. And of course, if you keep allowing people to repeat, you back up the space that should be available for new entrants. So it's about saying, this is what we'll do. This is what the country needs. This will be good for you. But here are the rules and we've got to enforce them. But it requires two things that we're probably unlikely to see from an ANC government. One is some real respect for the private sector and to allow it to become a market economy so that you make investment attractive. If investment's attractive, then people create businesses. If businesses are created, they are more likely to need more and more people to be employed. And if you can employ people, then it'll pay you to help to train people and so on and so forth. So let the dodo that is sitting on the tarmac at our Tambo gather some dust, and we can get on with more important things.
Sarah, I know one thing for sure, that you are not even close a spokesperson for the ANC. But how on earth do you explain it that a revolutionary party, a liberation organization like the ANC, didn't have as its primary aim the provision of free higher education to its constituents?
Well, you see, the problem is that I don't know why it didn't, but even if they did, it would have run aground. And the problem is that it's that sort of basic that I'm not sure if even the government understands. The government's money comes from us through taxation of a variety of kinds. And if you can't get more and more tax from a wider group of people who are being employed and are paying tax, you clearly can't rely on earning taxation from the sales and contracts earned by state-owned enterprises. So until you get your head over that, the money would have run out one way or the other.
You reckon? You don't think a place like Cuba somehow, I mean, I know nothing about Cuba, but I would imagine that they provide a modicum of free education to most of their populace. I hear what you're saying about linking it to free enterprise and liberalism, but it surprises me that the ANC didn't do it.
No, I think the problem is that, you know, 26 years ago, there was so much. I mean, I remember within the first 10 years, the number of ministers of education we had, all who had different plans, and it's almost like, I think higher education was thought of being able to pretty much take care of itself. But forward thinking, you know, and planning ahead has not been the ANC's strength. Although every time they have millions and millions of plans, they actually don't look ahead to what would happen if the following happened and the following happened and the plan didn't work out. So the best way to become a popular government is to free up the market and take the credit for the good things that the private sector does.
Sorghum, as always, a very interesting approach taken. Thank you for being with us this week, and I look forward to chatting to you same time next week.
See you then.